Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley,
this is CUDA Confidential,
the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Hey, Barracuda fans, Nick Nolenberger here. In this episode of CUDA Confidential, we'll recap the week that was with highlights, and we'll be joined by Barracuda video coach and operations manager, Nick Gialdini. Since the last time we spoke, the Barracuda played just one game on Saturday in Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena against the Henderson Silver Knights. At 4:22 of the opening period, rookie forward Ozzie Weisblatt found fellow rookie Scott Reedy, and Reedy would fire one in to give the Barracuda a 1-0 lead. For Reedy, his fifth of the season.
Barracuda may have numbers back the other way. Here comes Ozzie Weisblatt. Oh, to the near side. Shot! They score! Scott Reedy down the right wing side gets a feed from Ozzie Weisblatt, the teenager, and Reedy puts it off the post and in on the short side, and the Barracuda drop first blood, the time of the goal at 4:22 of the opening period, and for the rookie Reedy, he's up to 5 goals on the year.
But then Kyle Topping was called for 4 minutes for high sticking. And on that 4-minute power play, former Sharks prospect Danny O'Regan would light the lamp for his team-leading 13th of the year to tie the game up at 1-1.
Sanchenko, another good save by 36 and White. Now O'Regan winds up, he scores!
Then back at full strength, the Silver Knights would take their first lead. At 12:37, Pavel Dorofeev would jam one past the goal line for his 7th of the season.
The Silver Knights skips errantly to the point. Played back along the right wall. Dorofeev, near side, Hayes fakes the shot, works towards the dot, winds up, the save is made. It was behind Sachenko. And the Silver Knights score.
4 minutes and 5 seconds into the second period, top prospect Cody Glass would whack a puck out of midair, and the Silver Knights would take a 3-1 lead.
Now Dylan Sakura. Sakura traded to Vegas this offseason to the right side. Murphy back in front for Sakura. It's up and over Sachenko. Just rolled straight up and over him. He watched it go over him and then knew it was behind him, and at that point it was too late.
Less than 2 minutes later, though, Maxim Letunov would make it goals in back-to-back games in 3 of his last 4 as he'd light the lamp for the 12th time this season, matching his career high in which he set over the last 2 previous years.
To the right wing side for Merkley. His shot blocked. Karam back in front. Shot! They score! Maxim Letourneau sneaks one under Oscar Dance, and the Barracuda respond 5 minutes and 40 seconds into the second period.
Down by a goal going into the third period, Dorofeev again would score for the Silver Knights at 2:05 to push Henderson's lead back up to 2.
Side of his reach, recovered though by the Silver Knights. Here's a chance right on the doorstep this score.
But then on a 5-on-3 power play, Weisblatt, who picked up the primary assist on Reedy's goal back in the first, would score on the power play after Oscar Dansk had made save after save. Weisblatt finally beat the veteran netminder.
Your boards. Barracuda have an opportunity here. Weisblatt put it towards the mark tip, just wide hall blocks. Back in front, and what a stop there by Dansk as he kicks it away from a bid by Letunov. Back for Weisblatt to the back door. Dansk with another. literally standing on his head. Three straight grade A stops. And now Russo winds up, and that two is turned aside. Hobgawax now for Latunov. To the near side, Hobgawax whipped on the shot. Weisblatt point blank, he scores!
Unfortunately, down by a goal, the Barracuda were forced to pull their netminder, Zach Sawchenko, and in 1931, Jack Dugan sealed the 5-3 win with an empty netter.
Run into on that far side boards, jammed back down low, Handemark lowers the shoulder, 40 seconds remaining here. Silver Knights don't mind burning some time below the end line, came free for a moment, Latunov had it, it was just outside of his reach, and here come the Silver Knights, empty net bid, they score!
The Barracuda will wrap up the regular season on Tuesday night against the Henderson Silver Knights at the Orleans Arena. Puck drop is scheduled for 7 o'clock with our pregame show starting 30 minutes prior at 6:30 on the Sharks Audio Network at sjbarracuda.com/listen, and you can watch the game on AHL TV. When we come back, we'll be joined by Barracuda video coach and operations manager Nick Gialdini. We welcome in the video coach and operations manager for the San Jose Barracuda, Nick Gialdini. He is a recurring guest. We've had him on here before, but he pretty much does it all. He is the glue to the organization, handles all the travel, handles the video responsibilities, is kind of a liaison for not only the coaches, but also for the players. First of all, thank you for the time. We really appreciate it. Always enjoy having you on because I think you have a unique perspective and you provide so much for the team. It's fun to kind of allow for fans to dive into exactly what you're doing. It's been a unique year, to say the least. We can go all the way back to training camp in Arizona and everything that went into that. Walking from the hotel over to the rink, the guys were changing out of a locker room that was a wedding tent. An incredible experience. I don't think any of us hope we ever have to go through again. But for your role, being not only the video coach, but also the operations manager, so you're dealing with hotels, you're dealing with buses, you're dealing with flights. This year, not as many flights. Take us into that experience for yourself and pull back the curtain a little bit for us. What was it like conducting training camp out of state and just dealing with everything that went into what was a very unique start to this season?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always fun jumping on with you. But I think you hit it right on the head there. It has been a unique year. People always make jokes about being able to write books or create movies out of some of the experiences one day, but I think this is probably a season we could for sure go through and have multiple chapters worth of material. Arizona was quite an experience. You know, I think a lot of the staff and most of the players were on the road for almost near 60 days, definitely north of 50. I got in there a few days after Christmas. A couple of the players were there before Christmas to start quarantine. Some guys flew in a little bit later just to be straight into Barracuda training camp, but it was an interesting experience getting everyone in. And with the Sharks being in Scottsdale, it was close, but not right next door to where we were in Chandler. So we still had guys pulling double duty. I was driving back and forth every day for Sharks practices and making sure the Cuda guys have what they need. It was pretty interesting, but I think everyone bought in and no one really complained because everyone knew what kind of crazy situation we were in and scenario. And I think it goes the perfect place to start is just having our quote unquote locker room was a giant wedding tent in the back of the rink. The Chandler rink that was home for a couple months for us, they were awesome. Their staff was great, very accommodating for us, but it was a normal practice rink, operating every day with customers and public session and figure skating, youth hockey. They didn't shut the doors just because we were there. So we had to work hand in hand with them. And that started with building a big 30 by 30 wedding tent in the back parking lot. And, you know, having the guys get dressed out of these rolling racks that the equipment guys spent quite a lot of time with, rolling in and out of the building every day because we couldn't lock the tent. So it was just kind of one crazy thing after another. But that I think was the biggest eye opener as to how our training camp was going, was seeing these guys kind of work out in the parking lot because we had to be outside and distanced, and then getting dressed in this tent. You know, we had a portable toilet outside for the guys to move. You know, it was far from luxury, but it definitely got the job done. And for sure it was a good bonding experience for everyone kind of starting with this crazy experience together.
I know everybody appreciates all that you do for the team, but I think a lot of stick taps need to be given to your wife, Melissa, because you were on the road for over 2 months. I don't know if that was planned from the start, if you knew you were going to be gone that long and she was kind of ready for it and could adjust to you being gone for that long. But what was her reaction when she found out that you're going to Arizona and when you come back, to be determined? You just didn't know when you were coming home.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, we started hearing rumors that we might end up down there just given the situation we had at home in the county and the restrictions that they had. So, you know, once we heard the Sharks were going, we had a pretty strong feeling the Barracuda would end up there for a long time as well. So, you know, it was a little different situation for us than a normal year, obviously, but especially this year, because we found out in December that we were going to have a kid coming up here this year. So, you know, about 2 or 3 weeks after we find out that she's pregnant, I tell her like, hey, I'm going to Arizona. And it's like, oh, for how long? Well, I can't really tell you how long, because we don't know. It's going to be more than what we're used to for a trip. But, you know, she's always been good, with me traveling. I've been doing it even before being with the Barracuda. I was traveling with youth hockey and stuff. So it's a pretty normal part of our lives now. And, you know, we always joke at the end of the summer that we're starting to get sick of each other. So it's a good time to start traveling and get out of the house every once in a while again. So, this situation was a little bit backwards. She was definitely ready for me to come home, and, you know, I was ready to come home too, but she was great the whole time.
I guess the heart grows fonder when you're apart, you're gone for 2 months. You're going to certainly be excited to be around each other. So you finally get the season off the ground. You play some preseason games. You were in Southern California and then you're in Las Vegas. So your first experience against the newest members of the Pacific Division in the Henderson Silver Knights. We get through our first game, and then halfway through the second game, all of a sudden the officials are sending each team back to their locker rooms. There was a COVID positive. And you dealing with hotels and dealing with travel, all of a sudden on the fly, you've got to pivot and get everybody a hotel room for at least that night and for the next couple of nights as we kind of sorted everything out. Walk us through that story. I'm sure you were sweating, but you figured out how to get it done. But walk us through all that went down and how you found out there was a positive test and what you started doing once you found out.
Yeah, just, My typical day-to-day job, it's not bad when you have to plan travel for the guys. You know, you go for 4 or 5 day trips, but considering we were on the road for, you know, 50 whatever days, it was a little more unique as far as, you know, basically bouncing. Instead of from home to hotels, you're going from hotels to hotels. You know, you have more bus communication you have to do. It's a little more tedious work, but yeah, we were in Vegas and we were traveling a little bit heavy as far as the body count goes. We had some extra players at CUDA camp, you know, different situations with players from juniors that their seasons weren't started yet. So they were able to come down and skate with us. So I think, you know, most normal trips in a regular year, we're traveling with 24, 25 skaters. For this Vegas trip to start us off, we had, I want to say 30, maybe 32 skaters plus our full staff and a couple people from the management department. So, yeah, when you hear that you're not going to be able to travel back to Arizona that night after the game like we planned, we're going to have to pivot and find rooms for 50 people. It's you know, a little bit daunting of a task. So, first thing that happened, I think, is second intermission, all the guys are coming back in. After starting to go towards the ice for the third, and you know, we start kind of hearing the rumor that there was a positive test, and the first thing you go for is, okay, well, is it their team or is it our team? Oh, it's our team. All right, who is it? Is it a forward, a D, a goalie? And at this point in the season, we hadn't had much COVID experience yet. You know, I think the amount that all teams have learned between now and then is just 1,000 times more knowledgeable than what we started with. We didn't really know what we were dealing with. You know, we just loaded up locker rooms like usual. We separated stalls to adhere for social distancing, but we didn't really plan seating arrangements for the bus. We didn't really plan seating arrangements for the locker rooms. And so we ended up having a goalie that tested positive, and he was in the locker room with all goalies and all D. So just by contact tracing, that took out, I think it was 8 D and all three of our goalies right there. So, you know, big learning lesson from that experience. But our trainer, Will Leonard, told us, you know, we're not traveling back. I think it was a 4 or 6 hour bus ride back to Chandler from Vegas. So he said, we're not going on the bus. Obviously, you don't know the extent of the COVID exposure at this point, so you just want to make sure you're crossing all your T's and dotting all your I's, making sure you have everything safe. And, you know, we're not going to spread any more than we already have, if we have already. So I started looking for hotels. The one we checked out of that day, they weren't able to fit us back in that night, which was probably a small blessing because it wasn't the best location to begin with, which, you know, I got some heat for from some of the guys. Not the greatest hotel we've stayed in all these seasons, but it started pushing my boundaries outward a little bit as to which hotel would be able to accommodate 50 rooms in less than 30 minutes. So, you know, I'll give them a shout out. We found a nice DoubleTree hotel that fit us in pretty much open-ended stay for all our rooms, which was really great. We sent the group over in waves. We sent the quote unquote safe group first, got them all checked in. And then, you know, the potential exposure group came over, and then the remaining staff. So checked in three waves and really got that going. And I think we were there three nights, which turned out to be, you know, a nice little relaxing lockdown, but obviously we were ready to get back to our new home of Chandler and kind of get things going again after that.
Yeah, it's funny. At that point, you want to get back to Chandler. Before the trip, you wanted to get out of there. Yeah. I guess if you're going to get stranded in any city, probably in the world, and you need 50 hotel rooms that night, Vegas is probably your best bet to find 50 hotels with the amount of saturation when it comes to the numbers of hotels here. Well, the season got even more wild as we continued on our first major road trip, Texas. You expect to go to Texas. I don't think I looked at the weather report. I brought shorts. You know, I'm expecting Austin, Texas, good weather. Well, we just happened to get the worst weather they've ever had in the state's history. The Dallas Stars, which were about 5 hours north of us, they had to cancel their game with the Nashville Predators. We had our games canceled. Everything was frozen over. You heard horrible stories for the Texas Stars. Players were charging their phones in their car because they had no power for days on end. We get stranded. So you've got to try to figure out to get the team out of the state. We end up staying a couple extra days. At one point, we tried to fly out. Our flight was canceled about 5 minutes before we arrived. We end up flying out of Houston. You had to get frozen pizzas, though, at one point, over 50 frozen pizzas for the guys. We were running out of food. It may take a while, but walk us through that incredible experience. Emily Kaplan, who writes about the NHL and hockey as a whole for ESPN, she wrote an article on it, but an incredible story, one that I know we will never forget. But from your perspective, walk us through the Texas trip and the adventure that was.
Well, I think the best headline for this trip is the trip from you know where. I mean, I thought Vegas was kind of a tough experience dealing with the COVID stuff, but little did I know what we had in store for us. And it started from the day we landed. Technically, the events started popping up before we even landed, because I'm sure most people saw on the national news, the Dallas area had a really bad car accident. I think it was like over 100 cars, and that was because of the ice storm that they had come. So as we're approaching the airport, I had Wi-Fi turned on my cell phone. I got a message from the bus company saying that our buses were stuck in traffic caused from that giant car accident. So they're doing their best to find us an alternative option. But if they had no alternative options, our buses were probably going to be about 2 hours delayed, which I think you can probably understand how Roy would react if I told him the buses were 2 hours late. So luckily they were able to reroute a couple other drivers, and We ended up waiting 30 or 40 minutes, but did end up getting buses to us that could take us to the hotel. So that was item number one. And then item number two is not even to the hotel yet. We're on a big highway exchange, you know, flyover. We're probably 100 feet in the air, and bus driver's probably doing 40 to 50 miles an hour, big sweeping left turn. And we're looking in front of us, and there's a box truck that's stopped and, you know, dead as crud. And we start to conclude that there's probably ice up there and we probably need to slow down. And bus driver starts stepping on the brakes and the rear end starts sliding. So, I mean, day one was very eventful, but luckily we made it to the hotel safely and slowly after that. And, you know, we got through our first game with no really any issue. And once the weather started getting worse, we realized we were probably going to be in trouble when players were looking at DoorDash trying to find some food, and all the DoorDash drivers weren't operating because the roads were so bad. And as condition worsened, the restaurants around the hotel closed because their servers couldn't get in, and you know, they didn't have any staff. So food wise, we started to rely on the hotel. This is probably day three or four now that the players were kind of getting sick of chicken and pasta, and even the chicken and pasta the guys were running out of. So one day we had the bus driver drive us over, and you know, probably a foot or so of snow and ice to the Target, and ended up buying about 80 DiGiorno pizzas, a bunch of Uncrustable peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, cases of water, just kind of all the minimum requirements we would need to at least get through a day or two of bad weather. So luckily they were able to cook all those pizzas for us. And I actually got a nice shirt out of it from Rosemary from the Sharks that says, this guy loves DiGiorno pizza. So I think I could be a new sponsor if they're looking for anybody. So finally we get through that, and you know, we ended up losing a game due to the weather. We felt it wasn't safe to get over to the arena. In addition to the road conditions, the arena actually lost power due to all the weather and everything. So at this point it was just get the heck out of Dodge and you know, try and get back to the new normal we knew of Chandler. You know, again, I say get back home. And you know, we knew we might be in trouble as far as flying out due to the weather, but every time we looked that morning, everything seemed like it was okay. It seemed like it was going to work out. So Murph got to the airport early to check in all the equipment, and we started our trek. It, you know, typically it takes 20 minutes to get from this hotel to the airport. We did it in about an hour. You know, really had to go slow and steady, wins the race to get us out there. And I think you mentioned already, but we're about 5 minutes from the airport and we get the call that our flight got canceled. So it's like, what else can go wrong here? It was one thing after another. And, you know, really giving me gray hairs, this trip is by far the worst that we've ever experienced. So luckily I had told our hotel when we were leaving, I said, hey, please don't clean our rooms. You know, there's a chance we come back. And, you know, thank goodness we had that discussion, because I tried finding other rooms just in case, and nothing, to me, nothing in the entire state of Texas was open. That's what it felt like, because people that lost power in their homes moved to the hotels. Some hotels lost power themselves or had no water. So it really, you know, is an awful storm for those guys, something they're definitely not prepared for in Dallas and in Austin. So we made our way back to our hotel. They, you know, took us back in, thank goodness. And now we're back to the what are we going to do for food problem? You know, we're not going to go make another Target run for DiGiorno pizza. The hotel didn't really have anything for us anymore. So luckily the Texas Stars hooked us up with a restaurant that was able to feed us a few times. So that checked that box as far as, you know, finding something for the guys to eat, because you're on the road with 35 people. That's one of my biggest fears, is making sure everyone can eat, because you can go without some heat every once in a while, but you can't go without food. And then, you know, you try and figure out, okay, what's our next plan to get back to Arizona? I don't think at this point Austin was going to be an option for us, just given the weather forecast the next few days and the flight options. So, you know, we found a plan that would get us out of Houston, which is about 3 hours away, back into Phoenix. And then comes the fear of, if we get out there for 3 hour drive but the flight doesn't go, then we have no hotels over there. So it was throwing a Hail Mary, I think was the way I described it to the captain, Megs. And I said, we're going to go for it here. We're going to try and get out there and hopefully board the flight and take off. But if we don't, you know what, we might be sleeping in the airport. That's just going to be the worst case scenario that we'll have to deal with. So, knock on wood, thank goodness everything went to plan for that whole thing. But I think that was the first thing that went to plan that entire trip with Texas.
And then we found out halfway to Houston that Tucson had a COVID issue themselves, and we were not going to play the games. So you had to figure out basically flights home from Arizona back to San Jose, as we got to return home a little bit earlier than expected.
It was almost a relief to we don't have to go play these games. We get to go home. But then comes the panic of, 8 hours ago, I booked 35 people to get back to Phoenix. Now, how do we get everyone to San Jose? So luckily the hotel that we had there in Chandler was really accommodating for us, considering we're there for over a month. They knew everything we needed and how we operated. So I called them, another situation of calling in a hotel and saying, hey, can you fit in 40 people? Cause we weren't planning to stay there that night. And they took us in so we could fly everyone out the next day from Phoenix. That was, it worked out good, being able to cancel those games.
Well, we joked too, which was pretty classic. You were at the hotel so long, it changed names. We left, we came back. It was a different management group, a different named hotel. We had different keys, but the same facility. It was pretty incredible and pretty funny as well. And I knew that we had a situation on our hands when players who played junior hockey in Brandon, Manitoba, and Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, their faces were white after we got over that overpass, and they were concerned about the weather. I knew we were into something when those guys were looking uncomfortable as well. We're talking to Nick Gialdini, video coach, operations manager for the Barracuda. All right, last question for you. We can wrap up here. I know we've had you on quite a few times, so we've allowed for fans to understand a little bit more about what you do from a video coaching standpoint. But if you will kind of give us a cliff notes on, we heard what you do from an operations standpoint, but what are you providing for the coaching staff on a day-to-day basis?
I think as our staff has worked together, more and more over the last few years, it's changed a little bit because they've become a little more self-sufficient as far as getting their own data and stuff. But I think step number one is pre-scouting for our upcoming games. You check the schedule, you see what games you have coming up this week, cut a game of special teams or two for Bones to go through and watch their power play, or Chaser to go through and watch their PK, so they know what we're getting ourselves into coming up. And then Roy watches the 5-on-5 stuff this season for that pre-scout. I think that's kind of step one for me. And then, in game, I'm clipping everything. I'm clipping the breakouts, forechecks. If I see anything kind of out of the ordinary that I think we need to check out, I'll clip that so we can watch in intermissions, and the coaches can, after the game, take all these clips and start making their meetings, whether it's a team meeting or if they want to meet with someone one-on-one and kind of show them some areas where we thought they did stuff really well, or if areas they need to improve or get inside, whatever it may be. But really, I think that the majority of my job on the video coaching side is just making sure that coaches have the tool as easily accessible as possible. That way they can relay their messages clearly to the players and kind of show them what they see or don't see but want to see.
Well, we can't thank you enough. I think we could talk for hours because the amount of stuff that you do for the team, it's a laundry list in itself. The stories and the adventures that you've been through over your time with the team, we could talk for hours and hours. But awesome stuff, man. Thank you again for coming on. Nick is a local guy. He's a guy who's a direct product of his environment with the Sharks being in town, a guy who played for the Junior Sharks, went through the system, has coached at Sharks Ice, has coached youth programs, has played for San Jose State. So he is local through and through from San Jose, and a great reflection of a guy who started young playing and now has turned it into a career and does a tremendous job for the team. But we'll get you on again, maybe during the off season, and we'll dive into some of these stories even more. But thanks again for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Sounds good, dude. Anytime. We'll have to record one from the golf course this summer.
That's going to do it for this episode of CUDA Confidential. A big thank you to Barracuda video coach and operations manager, Nick Gialdini. Again, a reminder, the Barracuda are back on the ice to wrap up the 2021 regular season on Tuesday in Las Vegas against the Henderson Silver Knights. We'll have pregame coverage starting at 6:30 on the Sharks Audio Network at sjbarracuda.com/listen. And as always, you can watch the game on AHL TV. I'm Nick Nolenberger, thanking you for listening and saying so long until next time.